This program is brought to you by the partners and friends of Creflo Dollar Ministries.
Coming up next on Changing Your World.
Have you ever been in a hopeless situation and everything around you, they told you this wasn't going to happen, that wasn't going to happen? And I'm saying, I don't care what they tell you, you are going to keep depending on God. That's when the powerful things start happening in the lives of people who won't stop depending on God. It's not based on what you see. It's not based on what happened. It's not based on what somebody did. It's not based on what came through or what didn't come through. It's not based on if the pain stayed or the pain left. You got to keep depending on God and demonstrate the authenticity and the genuineness of your depending on God.
It's time to take a grace-filled journey with Creflo and Taffy Dollar, July 14th through 16th at the 2022 Grace Life Conference.
Grace would not be grace if you had to earn it. Grace is only grace if it's a gift that you received in spite of yourself.
Reserve your seat. Register now for the 2022 Grace Life Conference. Text Grace Life to 51555 or call the number on your screen. Visit gracelife-conference.org today.
This is your world, so let's vow to make it a better place. Let every heart that needs to know your love.
Mark 14, 29 through 31 in the NLT. Let's see this. Verse 29, he says this. Peter said to him, "Even if everyone else deserts you, I never will." This kind of sounds like Satan. Somebody says, well, how you figure that sounds like Satan? Because Satan always talking about what he would do. Next verse. Jesus replied, "I tell you the truth, Peter, this very night before the rooster crows twice, you will deny three times that you even know me." 31. "No." Now he's trying to debate. How you going to debate? That's just like when God tells you something, you're like, "No, Lord." And he's like, "Yes." He said, "No," Peter declared emphatically, "even if I have to die with you, I will never deny you." All the others, they vowed to do the same thing. Now, let's look at this real quick. His words were full of self-confidence, right? We established that last week. His words were full of self-confidence. So the question is this. Peter's failure then was a failure in self and not of his faith in God. A failure in self. So before Peter's fall, Peter had faith in Jesus as the Son of the living God, but his faith was mixed with a whole lot of confidence in self. That describes religion perfectly. Faith that's mixed with a whole lot of confidence in self. Somebody say, "What are you talking about?" Well, God helps those, watch this, who helps themselves. You see that? See what we've done? And then we say amen to that. God helps those who help themselves. When actually that's not truth at all. God helps those who need help and depend on Him. And so, in permitting Peter to fail because of confidence in self, in permitting Peter to fail because of confidence in self. See, that's what I don't want. I don't want to see failure because of confidence in myself. I want to avoid failing because I had confidence in myself. Now, I was talking religiously to make it sound like I had confidence in God, but I don't want to fail because I had confidence in myself. And what happened? Grace taught him to depend wholly upon God. So now, how does Peter's trial relate with all of us? Well, with all believers, failure of the flesh may be God's means. I believe this. It may be God's means to bring about a greater dependence upon Him that grows into an enriched spiritual life. Trials to bring you to a greater dependence upon Him. The trial here of Peter was to bring him to a greater dependence upon God. If you'll start paying attention to the trials that you go through, you'll start recognizing that you have a greater dependence on God. That maybe somehow you went in there, admitting it or not, but maybe there was some mixture of, you know, some self-confidence in with God. But he wants to burn off the self-confidence so that nothing else remains except your commitment to be dependent upon him. So I believe failures due to dependence upon self should be stepping stones to a deeper spiritual experience. And there are going to be failures because you depend upon yourself. Oh, I got a lot of testimonies on those. It's the danger of marrying a method. It's a danger of saying, I depend on my experience more than I depend on God. The danger of saying, I depend on my money more than I depend on God. I depend on my talent more than I depend on God. See, your talent is even no more an anointing. It's an anointing that God gave you, but the world doesn't understand anointing, so they call it your talent, and then you don't understand that you're depending on your talent more than you depend on God. See, that is, God is working diligently in the body of Christ to burn that off of your life, because greater fruit comes when you recognize you ain't nothing but a branch. Somebody said, what are you talking about? He said, I'm the vine, you the branch. If you live in me and I in you, you will bring forth much fruit. And we're wanting to bring forth fruit, but we want to do it independent from the vine. And what Jesus has come to do is to make sure you know you can't do nothing disconnected from the vine. If you understand that, say amen. So let me once again, I believe that, you know, when God delivers us from dependence upon self, it's a stepping stone to a deeper spiritual experience. The more you find that you're dependent upon God more than yourself, the deeper your experience with God goes. You can't praise him without really sensing it, man, because you're like, I know I depend on God. And all of us have had the opportunity to make, you know, if you're just willing to be honest about it, where you have faced some things, it's like, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. And you go in a quiet place and you get quiet and you're like, Lord, I'm talking to you because I don't know what to do. And then you come out with wisdom. Wisdom is knowing what to do when you don't know what to do. And God begins to lead your path and your step. But we're constantly in, as Christians, looking for stuff to do so we can boast about what we do. We're saved by grace. We got it through faith. And he says, so don't boast about your salvation, because there's nothing you did to get it except to believe and to depend on me for what I've already made available. All right, let's go to Paul's trial of faith. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7 through 9 in the NLT. Let's look at the Apostle Paul. Now, from this point right here in this teaching, I want you to follow me now. I'm about to disrupt some religious beliefs. And when I say disrupt your religious beliefs, it disrupted mine. See, mine get disrupted first, and then I come disrupt yours. And it's the things that we kind of look over, the things that we were taught. You do all you know to do until you can understand deeper and do some things better. All right, now watch this. Here's the Apostle Paul, the trial of his faith. 2 Corinthians 12, 7. We're going to look at 7 through 9 in NLT. He said, even though I have received such wonderful revelations from God. Now, the Apostle Paul is receiving these revelations about Jesus, the revelations about grace, all right? And he's receiving revelation, right? No man is teaching him this. He's receiving it from Jesus Christ. Even though I've received such wonderful revelations from God, so to keep me from becoming proud, you know, a prideful man is interested in doing it his way. A humble man is interested in doing it God's way. When you do it your way, you're probably dependent on yourself. Okay? When you're doing it God's way, you got to depend on him. Paul says, so to keep me from becoming proud, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger from Satan to torment me and keep me from becoming proud. Now, we argued about, you know, did God send the thorn? Where the thorn came from? I ain't gonna get into all that. There was a thorn in his flesh to keep him from becoming proud. Since they that live godly shall suffer persecution, his was a thorn to keep him from becoming proud. Because he was getting revelation that no man had ever gotten before. And it would have been easier for him to go around and claim himself as big time importance. All right, look at this. Three different times I begged the Lord to take it away. Each time he said, my grace is all you need. So he's teaching him right now, you got to depend on this grace. He says, my power works best in weakness. So now I am glad to boast, he says, about my weaknesses. So instead of boasting about my revelations, I'm boasting about my weaknesses so that the power of Christ can work through me. So notice here, God is trying to keep him humble. And notice once again, the trial of faith then is not a testing as to whether or not there is faith. The trial of faith is not a testing whether or not that your faith is sufficient, but rather this particular trial was a purifying of his faith, and it was a removal of all impurities of dependence upon self. That thorn there kept him from being proud, and it was removing dependence upon self to let him know this is not you. This is happening because of me, and I don't ever want you to think it's happening because of you. I got the thorn there to humble you so you don't go around telling people, look at me, I'm great, I'm wonderful, I am awesome, because I have a whole lot of revelation. And God was like saying, without me, you ain't got none, boy. I know you know some Christians like that. They talk about how wonderful they are, how awesome they are, and it's like you've got to go back to understanding it is God that determines who's lifted up, and it's God who's determined that'll be put down. You got to understand how powerful that is. Now, in 1 Peter, he says, you know, about, he talks about gold, how your faith, go to 1 Peter 1, 6 and 7 again, how your faith, not your works, not your accomplishments. The pure faith that emerges from the trial of faith is said to be more precious than gold that's tried by fire. Says your faith is more precious than gold that's tried by fire. Your faith is more precious than gold. The subject here is how your faith is more precious than gold. And in the sight of God, pure faith in him, uncontaminated by confidence in self, has great value. So he's trying to get us to value our faith. All right, now, I'm going to say something here. Just watch this carefully. He said at the end of that scripture that your faith is going to be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus. So when Jesus appears, guess where the honor is going to go? Why the honor is going to come towards you? It's going to come towards you because of your faith. Let me break it down. It's going to come towards you because of your dependence on God. He said, there's coming a time when Jesus appears that the praise and honor and glory because of you depending on God. But we've been taught that all the praise and honor and glory is going to come because of our works and because of our accomplishments. That's not true. Huge surprise if you think that when you go to heaven, they're going to be celebrating your works and your accomplishments. I don't care how much I do, there will not be a celebration of my works, and there will not be a celebration of my accomplishments. There will be a celebration of my faith, of my dependence upon God. Now, I know the good works come out of your dependence upon God, okay? But we got to go a little deeper here to the root of it. The praise and the glory and the honor coming because of purified faith, where it was a total dependence upon God and not a total dependence upon self, and there'll be glory and praise and celebration because here comes one that depended upon me in everything they did in their life. That's what I'm interested in. And religion tells you, he is gonna celebrate that you fed 5,000 people. He gonna celebrate that you did good works all, because that's how the world does it. Oh, they lived a wonderful life. They did this, they did that, they did that. They fed the poor one time. You know, they just did all these things. That's not okay. You can get the celebration and the praise from the world. You'll be dead, so you won't be able to really enjoy it. But what's going to matter is when you see Jesus. When you get to a place you ain't never been before, are you ready to take a chance on doing what religion tells you to do and ignore that the praise and the glory and the honor is going to be because you depended completely on Him? That's where we got to grow up. See, when you start talking about works and all that other kind of stuff, that's where the competition comes in. I got to do more works like them. I got to do more works like that. And you become works-based minded. And a lot of times you're doing work just because you're just dependent on yourself. And you do works out of the fact that you married Methodist, and out of fact you know what you're doing, and out of fact you went to school for it and all that. I'm talking about a life that's totally dependent upon God, where sometimes you go in your closet and I don't even know what to wear. Lord, but I depend on you. You're going to help me. I'm talking about when you can't sleep. I totally depend on God. I went through a period of about 7 days. I'd go to bed. I'd sleep tight. And then I get about 4 or 5 hours and wake up same time every morning, 4 o'clock, 4:30. I mean, wide awake. To the point where I'm just like, Jesus, where the sweet sleep? See, I ain't doing that. So my final attack on this was not to go to the doctor and say, give me some sleeping pills, because I'm not going to open myself up to get attached to something. I don't want to have to depend on those sleeping pills. Because I've now idolized the sleeping pills over Him. So what do you do, Pastor? I looked up every scripture I could find on sleep and rest and peace. And I'd go up in the room and I'd just read all the scriptures. I'd look at the bed while I was reading the scriptures. I wouldn't lay in it. I'd look in the bed and I'd say, when I lie down in peace, my sleep shall be sweet.
Yeah.
And I depended on Him. Last night, this morning, the other night after that, I was like, God, no. Bro, don't feel like moving. I had that hard sleep, that collie paw sleep where you curl up. They say you're not supposed to sleep on your side, but forget that, boy, close up. But you follow what I'm saying? I choose. There's an opportunity for me to depend on Him. And those opportunities come every day. But what do you choose? There's an opportunity to depend on Him. Now, watch this. Let's go, because I believe the purpose of the trial of faith is that the purified dependence upon God might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus. Now, real quickly, let's look at the faith of Abraham. Let's go to Romans 4, verse 18 through 24. Romans 4, verses 18 through 24. All right, we're getting a little closer now. Romans 4, verse 18. Somebody says, well, what have you done so far? I'm trying to feed you the context. Context is king. I have found when I have misunderstood certain things in the Bible, it's because I ignored the context. I can say Jesus wept, but out of context, I'll never come to the place of understanding that weeping was a prayer of groaning that raised Lazarus up from the dead. Because you got to read the before and the after. Context. Now, verse 18. Even when there was no reason for hope, Abraham kept hoping. That's heavy. I've been in situations in my life like there's no reason for hope, but you keep hoping. Abraham kept hoping. Believed that he would become the father of many nations. For God had said to him, he's hoping because of what God said. God said to him, that's how many descendants you will have. Next verse. And Abraham's faith, now watch this. And Abraham's dependence upon God did not weaken. And Abraham's dependence upon God did not weaken. See, the thing that we've got to do as Christian is when trials show up, we won't let it weaken our dependence upon God. Your attitude ought to be, come hell or high water, but I'm going to still depend on God. If I get the money to keep the house or I lose the house, I'm still going to depend on God. Man, sometimes God will let you use it just so he can show you he got something better because your faith is being tested. And I know too many Christians, they don't depend on God no more. Rona has messed their faith up. But Abraham's dependence upon God did not weaken. Even though at about 100 years of age, he figured his body was as good as dead. That meant you're not having no babies. There ain't no sperm racing nowhere. It's dead. I just want to make sure you understand. And he said, and so was Sarah's womb. There are no babies coming. There are no eggs. There's no sperm. They're too old. It's not going to happen. There was no hope. And he kept hoping. Oh, please get this. There was no hope, and he kept depending on God. Have you ever been in a hopeless situation and everything around you, they told you this wasn't going to happen, that wasn't going to happen? And I'm saying, I don't care what they tell you, you are going to keep depending on God. That's when the powerful things start happening in the lives of people who won't stop depending on God. It's not based on what you see. It's not based on what happened. It's not based on what somebody did. It's not based on what came through or what didn't come through. It's not based on if the pain stayed or the pain left. You got to keep depending on God and demonstrate the authenticity and the genuineness of your depending on God. Abraham never wavered in believing God's promise. In fact, his faith grew stronger in the midst of hopelessness. His dependence upon God grew stronger. In the midst of hopelessness, his dependence upon God grew stronger. In the midst of hopelessness, his dependence upon God grew stronger. Somebody says, how to do that? Well, you have to practice that. Wake up every day, Lord, I depend on you. Every opportunity, Lord, I depend on you. You walk like that. And in this, he brought glory to God. Look at what he did. His faith brought glory to God. He was fully convinced that God is able to do whatever he's promised. Now watch this. And because of Abraham's dependence upon God, God counted him as righteous. He was counted righteous because he was good and he did good works. No, he was counted righteous because God saw his dependence upon him. So likewise, go to the next verse. And when God counted him as righteous, it wasn't just for Abraham's big enough benefit. It was recorded for our benefit. He said, the only reason we're reading this is for our benefit too, assuring us that God will also count us as righteous if we believe in him, the one who raised Jesus, our Lord, from the dead. He said, just like this miracle came through from Abraham because he depended upon God, those who depend upon Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, they'll be made righteous the same way. I'm righteous because I depend upon God's righteousness. I'm not righteous because I did something to be righteous. Let me read something to you real quick. If you have your Bibles, look at this. Don't ever forget the scripture. Galatians chapter 2, 16 in the NLT. I depend upon God for my righteousness, and I depend upon God for my provision, and I depend upon God. Abraham depended on God. That's why Isaac showed up, because they depended upon God. And God says, I'm going to count you righteous because you depended on me. He says, I can count you righteous because you depend on me. So if you depend on me for everything, I can make you righteous. And this is a picture of what I want New Testament believers to do. Depend on Jesus Christ and don't depend on yourself. You're going to be righteous because of him, not you.
If trouble isn't God's will for believers, why does it seem like we always experience it? In his series, Why Is This Happening? The Reason for Trials and Suffering, Creflo Dollar explores the persecution of the godly and the refining that comes from it.
God's bottom line objective is to get you to a place where you declare your dependence on God. That's going to require for the gold to be put in the fire.
Jesus declared totally dependent upon God. Your faith has got to be put on trial so that God can perfect it for what he's trying to use you to do. And he needs to get you like he got Jesus. He's like, listen, Jesus says, I do nothing except the Father.
All five life-changing messages can be yours today for a love gift of just $30 or more. Call the number on your screen or visit CreflowDollarMinistries.org and click eStore to get yours today and be free.
You can interact with Creflo Dollar Ministries anytime, anywhere. Engage with Christ on a deeper level. Develop your walk with the Lord and strengthen your faith. All of this is at your fingertips with our state-of-the-art custom-designed app.
So if you're going to monitor unbelief in your life, you're going to have to monitor the contradictions in your mind and your thoughts according to the Word.
With the broadcast feature, you can access your favorite messages, sermon series, and more. The app puts you right in the sanctuary with live streaming of services. You can receive practical advice for applying the Word of God to your life every day with our daily devotionals.
When you understand that you've been forgiven, I'm telling you, you'll allow other people to experience that same forgiveness.
Add events to your calendar, set reminders, get directions, share with friends, and even give securely through this platform. Visit CreflowDollarMinistries.org/app or text APP to 51555.
We want to be sure we are living according to what God has taught us about giving. And we understand that giving and receiving is a spiritual law. It's a reflex of God's love. And I'm so glad that Taff and I begin to understand how to walk in this principle. But we give not out of necessity. We give out of a cheerful heart. We give because we're grateful and we're thankful to what God has done. You know, I want you to pray about becoming a giver into Creflo Dollar Ministries today. And if this ministry has blessed you in any way, consider sowing a seed of any amount and we will greatly appreciate it. Thank you in advance for your support and God bless you.
Your financial donations into this ministry work all over the world to change countless lives. If you'd like to support our efforts to save the lost, you may call in or visit CreflowDollarMinistries.org today. God bless you.
Are you searching for direction or just need a word from God? Join the World Changers Nation for service every Sunday at 10 a.m. or restream at 2 p.m., 6 p.m., and 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Together, we're understanding grace and empowering change. Text Watch Now to 51555 or visit worldchangers.org for more information about our services and streaming times. We're in this together, no matter where we are. We are World Changers. See you online.
Thank you, partners and friends. Your love and financial support makes it possible to bring this message into millions of homes all across the globe. The preceding program was brought to you by the partners and friends of Creflo Dollar Ministries.